This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأن يدخل لنا زلات ويفرين بشكلين ويرفع على كل شيء تقول فيه ويجيب So last time, alhamdulillah, we talked about the history of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it was started. And we mentioned the hadith of Jibril alayhi salam, when he first came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the second revelation that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of the issues that happened between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wife, Khadija. And also, I guess we talked a little bit about the virtue of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the memorization of the Quran. So today, inshallah, we'll move on to the next issue, which is the first surah in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most likely, this is the first surah, complete surah to be given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is simply because we need it in our recitation of the Quran in the salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah can talk about Allah. Khalifa imanukum. Qalu imana ya Rasulullah. قال فلا تفعلوا الا بالامن وقفوا الى صلاه لمن لم يرى منزل مقصود عن سبب اليوم سلاجه في القران المعتقد بهذه الامه السجس يا رسول الله السجس كلام كلام except for the presence of God, because there is no prayer except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala besides from the presence This is the reason why some scholars believe that Fatiha is the first complete surah given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first part of it is the first thing to begin with is the istiaza. Qul Allah azza wa jalla inna qara'tu al-Qur'ana fastaghfirullahi minash shaitanir rajim. Whenever you read Qur'an, you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from the evil of the shaitan, the curse. So, whenever we need Quran, we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the isti'aza. Fasta'idhillah, yani idha aradta qira'at al-Quran. Idha qira'at al-Quran, ayna aradta qira'at al-Quran. When you intended to read the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are required to do the isti'aza. It is necessary. Yeah, because Quran is what? Watadabbur. But, kitabu anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun, yadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Quran is revealed for the sake of the tadabbur, wa yatadhakkara ulul albab, so that those people who have aql, look, this is the essence of the aql, reflection. Those people who have that kind of preciousness, they will reflect whenever they are reminded by the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for you to have this, you need to be away from the shaykh. The best thing for you is to Quran. If this is the case, you are already promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to let you reach that which is the best. So it is necessary when you read Quran to ask Allah to protect you from this entity. We're going to talk about this one, inshallah. I can't give like Allah not to go into it so that we can maximize the benefit of the rahmat of Allah, inshallah, before we read this type of thing, inshallah. So we're going to read sort of we see the detailed story of Shaitan and Adam alayhi salam. Then you will remember, you will be able to remember the real and the real. In Surah Al-Baqarah also we get what exactly happened to Allah. Allah wants to talk about it in a bit more detail and tells you what to do to protect yourself from the part of this entity. So Allah says first is billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. The best thing to say when you're doing the isti'aza is a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. This is the consensus of the Quran. This is the consensus of the Quran. Although there are some narrations can say, we can also do another version of isti'adha. Yes, that is another opinion that says we can also say another version of isti'adha. This is what Imam Shafi'i was referring to when he says, إِذَا مَا أَرَدْتَ الدَّهْرَ تَقْرَأُ فَاسْتَعِذْ جِهَارًا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ بِاللَّهِ مُسْجَلًا عَلَى مَا أَتَى فِي النَّحْلِ يُسْرًا وَإِنْ تَزِدْ لِرَبِّكَ تَزِيدًا فَلَسْتَ مُجَهَّلًا. He says, whenever you decide to read Quran, proceed with that. You have to see the last one of Allah from the evil of the Shaitan. عَلَى مَا أَتَى فِي النَّحْلِ, based on what he received from Allah from the Surah 2 النَّحْلِ, proceed with Allah from the Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, A'udhu Billah, min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. So that's how we can see that. That says, A'udhu Billah, min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. When it comes to the Rabb, he says that there's easy questions. A'udhu Billah, min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. However, when it comes to the Rabb, we can see that the rest of the Jaha. If you are to add some, you know, tanzih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free from any deficiency, increase that freedom from any deficiency. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody will relate you to ignorance. I mean, nobody will tell you that you are wrong and that you are ill. That's what we found in the hadith, as he himself also says, he says, they mentioned that Rasulullah used to say, oh, that's in his next prayer. How can you say, oh, according to Imam Shafi'i, it's jibra. You can do any increase in the tazikrillah azza wa jal, or tahqir bi shaitan. That's why some of our Quran scores from the Quran is easy to say, A'udhu Billahi al-Qadir, min ash-shaytan al-Ghadir, A'udhu Billahi al-Qudus, al-Qawi, al-Aziz al-Jabbar, min ash-shaytan al-Rajim al-La'im, al-Maqruf. Remember, the best is to restrict yourself to that which the scholars have mentioned to be part of Surah 2. And the hal, or what is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. So either A'udhu Billahi min ash-shaytan al-Rajim, or over the last 7 minutes, you probably will give me an answer. And these are the best one to restrict yourself to. But if you have somebody who is doing what I have mentioned earlier, you cannot relate it to innovation. Right? Because this is one of the consensus of the scholars of the Quran, put up and read the way. And they will never agree on something that is wrong. So when a person do out of the language, and also she keep her to read. Let me give you some more of English. They mentioned that somebody learned the tajweed in the tree. You know, if you have Lamul Jalala, Masbuk, which is preceded by Kasar, how do you pronounce Lamul Jalala? Mok, you're going to think, let me read it. So this brother was learning tajweed. Yeah? And then he comes to and also you know how to say that, right? Osa, Allah, thank you. I'm still in the picture. So, Rubli say that, you also want that you have to do it. Allah, so when he comes to recite out of the nation, he realized that the haraka before the Jalala is kasra. And he's going to say, Bilal, Bilal. And he's going to go to Shaitan and say, Shaitan. It was too big to him. It was too big to him. How can he make the name of Allah soon and then Shaitan will make him? So how did he read? He said, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan. At least some people, they may be rewarded, you know, because of his attack. It's really Aziz to him to make Shaitan bigger and the level of us. But that's the key. We're not doing it for that. Let me just keep it in the way. It is already valid in a Shaitan. It doesn't mean Shaitan is here. Shaitan doesn't have time for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Isti'adha. You're asking Allah to protect you from of the Shaitan. And also, since you are about to read Quran, that's because you're asking Allah to grant you ability to benefit from this that you are about to meet. Even though Cathy, you mentioned a very nice thing, which I always remind you with, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of these is the other in the Quran, and about how many places? Three places, right? Moving after what will be the Ophi, who are the Jahim, the Imams, the Recognition of Judgment, the faith in that. That's the law. In the second place, if not in the city, I said, even the Dibayak of them who allowed him to know, well, you, Hamim, and that's the Shwaki. Right? And you have another one in Surah Al-Mu'minun, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Rabbilati here, I said, Nahu A'lam bima yasifun. He's talking about the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the isti'ala from the Adunka, the instrument of jinn. Yes? After this first in the language of Amir Rajiv, there are two. Three more places. One is the number of the Ukhmar al-Jahiri, and the second one is Ifrabilati here, Asim Sayyah. And the last one is Ifrabilati here, Asim, even the brain of the brain of minority, and no, Waliyah. So you are saying that you have two types of enemies, Adu Mila Insi and Adu Mila Energy. This is a very important question. Very, very important. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you, if you want to resolve the problem between you and Adunuka al-Insi, your enemy problem, how do you do that? How do you resolve the issue between you and patience, sabr, replying with the best? In every place, there's nowhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has started by asking you to revenge. Never. Allah. Bring against your enemy from the human beings, he says, instability to your asset. Provide the best. Even the Bibayna or Bayna who are there to the Amna who are here, reply to that. So this is the human being, right? From Baraka, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you do that, that person is going to be like one of the pillars. You'll be sharing. It is like that, my dear brothers and sisters, when you are patient and you observe someone and you forgive. Usually that person that you are forgiving is like you own him. You know, it's like you own him. So always reply with the best. Don't do the same thing with the best. Yeah, when somebody acts stupidly, that's what happens. Reply with the best. Be like Isaiah the Navigator. He says to the one who was listening, he said, if you tell me ten words, I will not tell you one. The man was saying to him, if you tell me one word, I will tell you ten. So then the Arabian told him, relax. He said, the Arabian told him, relax, and says, if you tell me ten, I will not tell you one. He said, he has sent me a problem, I doubt it. I know it's very difficult for somebody to hurt you and then make a misinformation. Trust me, this is better than it is. It saves you time, it gives you relief. You know, you relax in this video, don't think about it anymore. Always think of your what benefits you are. You know, people remove them from your heart. Nobody deserves to be in your heart in this video. I wish you guys would understand this. Nobody deserves to be in your heart.
Yeah. Leave them out of your heart. And you go home, you're free from anyone. Yeah. When you're walking out of your house, be free from anyone who hurts you, who doesn't hurt you, you know, yes, forgive. Move forward. You will never receive anything except respect and also elevation and ranking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never increase you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep giving you increase in terms of ranking because of the afu, the forgiveness you're granting others. You get it? You will not lose anything. Don't worry. Sometimes we say, no, I have to revenge. You know, I must revenge. No. As a Muslim, you don't need this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took revenge in his life. So how to resolve the issue between me and my fellow human beings when there is something between me and them? Patience, right? And afu, and forgiveness. You know, don't hold them accountable for what they did, unless if that is necessary. Because there are circumstances where it is appropriate also to hold him responsible. But you close the page. he has to be responsible because you have been giving him respite, and then he does it again. Then these type of people, you don't take revenge, but you teach them lesson. No revenge, but you teach them lesson so that they can stop doing that to others. Yeah, Ibn Hazm has this nice approach in this in his book, Al-Akhlaqu Wasiyah. So this is for the Aduwwuk al-Insi. In all of these three ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the enemy, your enemy from both, he says, idfa billati hi ahsan, with the human beings. But with the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. If you have problem with shaitan, do you have problem with shaitan? Always. Constant and permanent enmity between you and shaitan. Allah says, لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. You have permanent enmity between you and shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Ask me to take care of that. SubhanAllah. Why? Because you don't see him. And in my friend, I can go to him, I talk to him. But shaitan, you can't. You don't see him. He sees you, you don't see him. That's why the issue with him is very dangerous. Because you don't know what he's doing. You don't know what kind of plan he is doing. You know? So that's why you are in a very dangerous situation dealing with him. So you need to ask the one who sees shaitan and shaitan doesn't see him to take care of the issue, to interfere. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. So please do understand this correctly. Inshallah, you will be able to remember all the time your adhkar sabah wal masah. Wallahi, you need them. We're living in a time which is very complicated. You know, so many evil people are living with us, magicians, and some of them in the name of scholars, but they're magicians. Yeah, they're magicians. And you have people living with you also. They have nothing except to plan for your failure. There you are. You have those relatives who will go and do magic to some people. What are they benefiting from? It's just hasad and planning for a failure. Is that clear, inshallah? So please, take care of your adhkar. Don't miss prayers on time. And also do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the morning and the evening one, especially La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu mulku wa alhamdu ala kulli shay'in qadir, 100 times in both morning and evening. And bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, 3 times morning and the evening. Inshallah, you will enjoy life with full protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't worry, don't think about all of those ones, magicians, jinns and shayateen. Wallahi, don't think about them. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, nobody among them can touch you. They can't approach you. Let all the magicians sit in a place and plot against you. Bi'idhnil wahid al-ahad, they would never reach you, as the Prophet said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. If they are to plan, you know, to plan and to plot against you, all of them, they would never reach you. So you need to have this aqidah and iman, which helps you to relax in this dunya. So this is isti'adah. We have a lot to say concerning this isti'adah, but my advice is, any dhikr that the Prophet asks you to do, please take care of that. Get it? Go into the house, go outside, out to the house, get inside the bathroom. What do we say when we're going into the bathroom? أعوذ بكلمة الله التامة من شر ما خلق. What do we say? اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. Right. اللهم إني. Everything in this dunya, بإذن الله تعالى, you have. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم gave you something for that. He says, when a person is about to approach his family, he should say, اللهم جنب الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا. You know, the first time when they marry, he says, she puts a hand on the wife and say, اللهم إني أسألك خيرها وخير ما جبلتها عليه وأعوذ بك من شرها وشر ما جبلتها عليه. Doesn't mean that she's evil and he's not evil, but he also has. Do you get the idea? But if Allah wants to protect the one that comes from that side, بإذنالله عز وجل, the other one also is going to be protected. And don't forget to go and say سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا. Yeah, they said that. Somebody who mentioned that. Allahu alam. Okay, so that's isti'adah. The second thing is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What is Bismillah? Al-Jar wal-Majroor. What is Bismillah? In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, this Allah, this is the Majroor, bi harf al-Jar. And Allah, alam, you know, lafz al-Jalala, al-Bari azza wa jalla. And this is the leader of all of the names. Okay, Bismillah, this word Allah is the leader of all of the names. Any other name is serving this name. You get an idea. That's why in every place where Allah SWT mentioned this name, you will see the rest of the name being mentioned. Rest of the names being mentioned, they are tabi'a lihada. You get it? هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. In the second ayah also, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. In the third ayah also, هو الله. In everyone, Allah is going to repeat Allah, except in one surah, in Surah Ibrahim. صراطي العزيز الحميد اللهي. If you look at العزيز الحميد اللهي. That's why they said, even if you stop, you are going to also say Allah, majrur. With kasra, it looks like it is tabi'ali, al-aziz al-hamid. Yeah, like you are defining al-aziz al-hamid, so the root is al-aziz al-hamid, and then Allah is like different. It's supposed to be ila sirat Allah, ila sirat Allah al-aziz al-hamid, ila sirat al-aziz al-hamid Allah. Yeah, that's why the scholar said, this is bara'ah al-Qur'an. The way it should be interpreted is ila sirati llahi al-aziz al-hamid. So al-aziz al-hamid, they are the ma'tufa ala Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it afterward rather than putting it in the first part, to keep that a principle that says all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are serving this name Allah. Okay, so what is the meaning of Allah? Allah huwa al-ma'luh, al-ma'luh huwa al-ma'budu bihaq. Please do remember this. Huh? Whenever you mention the word Allah, it means al-ma'luh. It's taken from the word ilah. Ilah huwa al-ma'luh. Wal-ma'luh huwa al-ma'budu bihaq. The word Allah is derived from the word al-ilah. And the word al-ilah means al-ma'luh. Wal-ma'luh huwa al-ma'budu bihaq. What is ma'budu bihaq? Ma'budu bihaq, the only one to be, who deserves to be worshipped. That's why whenever you say Allah, it means you are confessing that Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. You get it? Nobody who deserves this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest name. There is no any other name that is better than this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبِّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. That's why we call him Allah, not God. Please do take note on this, right? The name is Allah, not God. We don't have God, we have Allah. Yeah. Although this is what we use to interpret, to translate the word Allah, but you have goddess also, right? Yeah. You have other aliha. But this name is unique. It has never been given to anyone. Even the Ahlul Batil didn't call themselves Allah. Except, so yeah, Allah guide them. Yeah, those one, they lost their aql. You know, you ask him, he himself also, he tells you, he is Allah. How about me? He will tell you also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billah. Because they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merge with everyone. Ta'ala Allahu amma yaquluna uluwan kabira. That's why, and they call themselves Muslims. That's why Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi says, these ones, they're worse than the Christians and the Jews. They're worse than the Majus, actually. Because Christian and the Jew, the Christian, they restricted it to two or three. Isa and Ruh al-Qudus and who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said three. But these guys who claim to be Muslims, they said everyone also is Allah. You see how worse they are from the Jews and the Christian. That's why sticking to the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is necessary. You Allah, it's necessary. Otherwise, you end up losing your religion in the name of Islam. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So Bismillah, there are a lot to be said concerning this name. Bismillah. Bismillah. Yani Bismillah what? Aqra. Yeah, this is the best taqdeer. Bismillah aqra. Bismillah akul. Bismillah abda. You know, whenever you say Bismillah, you're going to eat, you say Bismillah. It means Bismillah aqra. You know, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I read. Get it? So I am about to read, but I'm doing that in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, who is ar-Rahman? The most merciful. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. Ar-Rahim, also the most merciful. So they carry both, the meaning is the same. You know, in translation, the beneficent, the most merciful, right? But in Arabic language, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, they both carry the same thing. Both of them are referring to the Rahmah. Ar-Rahmah, Sifa Lillahi Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah. Nobody is like him in this Rahmah. So this Rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Rahmah that he created. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Rahmah, there is Rahmah which is Sifa, Dhatiyya, Lahu, this one is not created at all. And there is Rahmah that he created to show it on us, you know, for us. You know, this one, he said he created the Rahmah and he divided it into 100 pieces. You only pick up one and put it with us. And subhanAllah, see, a mother cannot put her child into a dangerous situation. You see, even animals also will raise up its legs so that it will not step on its kid. We are sharing one mercy. You get the idea? How about the 99? The 99 mercies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping them to use them for the creation on the day of judgment. You get it? And this rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of two types. The one that we extract from his name Ar-Rahman and the one that we took from his name Ar-Rahim. You get it? That's why they say both carry the same meaning. In Arabic, they call them mutaradifat. Okay, synonymous to each other, synonyms. So the scholar said, if they meet, إِذْ اجْتَمَعَ اِفْتَرَقَ وَإِذْ اَفْتَرَقَ اجْتَمَعَ. Yeah, these are the words, when they are together, they go separated. When they are separated, they remember each other. You get the idea, like Islam and Iman, okay? When you have the word Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, like this one, being mentioned in one place, then you have to look for a meaning to address each and every one of them. But if Rahman is mentioned separately, Ar-Rahim is mentioned separately, you give this both of them the same meaning. Yeah, the same, the meaning of the other one also as well. But if they are both mentioned in one place, then you have to define each and every one of them with different meaning. So they said, Ar-Rahman huwa dhu-rahmatu, dhu-rahmati al-wasi'ah, al-wasi'ah. Wal-Rahim dhu-rahmati al-wasila. Al-wasi'ah for Rahman, al-wasila for Rahim. Dhu-rahmati al-wasi'ah. Wasi'ah means the one whose mercy is so big, it encompasses everyone. Kafir get, mu'min get, Ahl al-Batil get, everyone is getting. Good one, bad one, everyone is getting. Kufar, they're doing what they're doing, right? Do they live? They live. They have money, they have wealth, they breathe, they're healthy, you know. The wrongdoers, the bad people, they're given also by Allah because they are also part of his creation. He created them and therefore he made it responsibility upon himself, you know, to take care of everyone amongst those whom he created. So Ar-Rahman means Rahman al-Dunya. Rahman means Rahman al-Dunya. The one who shows mercy to everyone. No restriction. However, Ar-Rahim means the one whose mercy is continuous. Because everyone receives the mercy until the end of this life. When this life is over, when we move to the second dimension, the hereafter, then only the good ones will get the mercy. This is where Ar-Rahim comes. So Ar-Rahim means Dhu Rahmatil Wasila, the one whose mercy is continuous. So it means on the day of judgment, the only one who will get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the believers. Is that clear, inshallah? How to qualify this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will talk about that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should know that nobody will be able to go to paradise because of his deed. Get the idea? Your deed can never take you to paradise. Because if you look at paradise and you see what is inside, mawdi' sawtin fil jannah, a small spot that you put the whip, that you hit something with, you know, that spot is bigger than the dunya, is better than the dunya, and whatsoever is in it. This is Jannah. How can you buy Jannah? However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bima kuntum ta'amalun, get inside Jannah because of your deed. The scholar said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of your deed, it means your deed at the sabab for you to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need the mercy for you to go to paradise. But how to get the mercy? Through the deed. You get the idea? If you have good deeds, then you get the mercy. Then you go to paradise. Is that clear, inshallah? So try your best. Make sure that all of your deeds are good. What is good deed? What is a good deed? Hmm? I like that one. Sorry, Hamad. I'm going to neglect yours, although it is correct also, but I don't like it now. Yusuf, what? Ittiba. No. He says, whatever you do, وَأَنْتَ مُخْلِصًا فِيهِ وَمُتَّبِعًا لِسُنَّةِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Two conditions we have for good deeds to be accepted. I know what you mentioned is also contain these two things, but sometimes a person might claim that he's doing, but we don't have access to his heart. So we have to tell him that you need two things for your right, for your deed to be righteous. Number one is ikhlas. Number two is al-mutaba. Ikhlas means you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. And number two, you do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any action, any deed that lost one of them, this deed is useless. Yeah, if you do it mukhlisan lillah, you have ikhlas, but you don't do it like Rasulullah, the action is useless. Yeah, because nobody asks you to do that. Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa radd. Whatever you do, if there is no command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be rejected back to you. So if you do it mukhlisan, but there is no mutaba, you don't do it like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your action is useless. However, if you do it also muttabi'an li sunnati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, precisely, subhanAllah, like the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, but unfortunately you are not doing it for Allah, that action also is useless. So two conditions for the deed to be righteous. And please try observe this, you know, in your life. Make sure that whatever you do, it is for Allah, and don't worry if you do it according to the sunnah. Yeah, I really emphasize on this. Because sometimes when somebody corrects us, that this is not the sunnah, we get attitude. Why? Why are you angry? Why? Wallahi, I'm asking this question because it's so surprising. You know? Because this religion is not mine and it's not yours. If we claim to be practicing the religion, why can't we do it? Then we have to do it correctly, you know. Nobody can come and want to live in your house and in the way he wants. Why, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes something, we want to do it in the way we want, not in the way he wants? You get it? It's a very serious matter. We take it lightly, but it's a very serious matter. There is a way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to approach him. If you don't approach him in that way, your action will be useless. And that's why, as a Muslim, whatever you do, you must make sure that it is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to do. If not, you're just wasting your time. It's better for you to sleep. You Allah, better for you to sleep, rather than coming to waste your time. Yeah, because it's a waste of time, because nobody asks you to do it in that way. So, Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we said the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only given to the righteous and the good one. Those people who are not righteous and they are not, good people, they will not be shown this mercy. You get the idea? The mercy is only given to the righteous people. And even the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save on the day of judgment, they don't have good deed, but they have la ilaha illallah, right? That one remains. Otherwise, if la ilaha illallah is missing, there is no way for them to go to paradise. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya'malu khayran qattu, it doesn't mean that there is no khayr at all. Otherwise, they will never go to paradise, because if we generalize, then la ilaha illallah also shouldn't be there. Because it is the first khayr. It is the first khayr. So la ilaha illallah has to be there. Tawheed has to be perfected for a person to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Bismillah. This Bismillah, according to the best opinion of the scholars, is not ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha. And this is the best opinion. Bismillah is not part of Surah Al-Fatiha. It is not part of any surah in the Quran, except Surah An-Naml. Innahu min Sulaymana wa innahu bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. This is the only place where Bismillah is part of a surah or ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also by consensus, it is not part of Surah At-Tawbah. There is no Bismillah in Surah At-Tawbah. Why there is no Bismillah? Allahu A'lam. Many interpretations and opinions by the scholars, but the best answer is Allahu A'lam. Yeah, but there is no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the first part of Surah At-Tawbah. As for the rest of the surah, Bismillah is an ayah, mustaqillah, yu'arafu biha, intihau suratin, wa abtida'u ukhra. We know with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the end of a surah and the beginning of another surah. But it is not part of any other surah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including Surah Al-Fatiha. What is the significance of knowing this? Because if you say that Bismillah is part of Surah Al-Fatiha, if a person misses Bismillah in his prayer, the prayer is batila. If you miss Bismillah, the prayer is batila. According to the opinion that says it is part of it, if you miss it, then your prayer is batil. According to the best opinion, if you miss Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you lost a lot of reward. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much you are losing. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much you are losing. You get it? But your prayer is intact, is valid. You get the idea? That's the significance of the controversy amongst the scholars. However, my advice is, this is just for the sake of knowledge. It is inappropriate for a Muslim to begin Surah Al-Fatiha, you know, without Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's inappropriate. And why do you put yourself also into, a doubt? Yeah, although we believe that the best opinion is the one that says it is not part of it, but at the same time, why can't you read it, you know? At the same time also, why can't you read it? So try to be on the safe side always, right? When some scholars said halal, some scholars said haram, you know, some are saying halal, some are saying haram, then just stay away from it. If somebody says haram, another person says halal, stay away from it. If somebody says wajib, another person says mustahab, the best is to do it. Yeah, be on the safe side. Even if your opinion is the other one, the best is to do it, to be on the safe side. Because if you are on the safe side, nobody is going to say that you're wrong in your approach. Allah grant us good. So this is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So let's begin with Surah Al-Fatiha for a moment, and then we stop for questions, inshallah. Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the best surah in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ubay ibn Ka'b, before we go out of the masjid, and this happens when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid, and he called Ubay ibn Ka'b, who was praying at that time. He says, "Ya Ubay." So Ubay said, he did not answer because he was praying. So after he finished the prayer, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Ya Ubay, why didn't you reply me when I called you?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I was praying." He said, "Didn't you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, 'Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhiyukum'? Respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever you are invited to that which will make you alive." That's the wahi and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why was that? Because Ubay ibn Ka'b was praying sunnah prayers. You get it? And if you're praying sunnah prayer, a wajib comes, whether this wajib is from the parent or from anyone. If it is wajib, you have to stop that prayer and go to the wajib. You get it? Because this is sunnah prayer. But if you're praying the wajib prayer, nobody can stop you from that. You can continue praying without stopping. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Ya Ubay, I'm going to teach you a surah in the Quran. Allah never sent and revealed a surah that is better than this surah. There was no surah that is better than this." He said, neither in the Torah or in the Injil. No surah that is better than this. So he says, before I go out of the masjid. And then Ubay said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started going. He kept on talking to me on other matters. But then I realized that he's going to go out of the masjid. And he said, "I will teach you this surah before I go out of the masjid." قَالَ فَكُنْتُ أُبَاطِئُهُ الْمَشْيَةِ. So I kept on reducing my steps so that Rasulullah ﷺ would not go out. So when he was about to go out of the masjid, I told him, "Ya Rasulullah, you told me that you're going to teach me a surah in the Quran that is the best surah." He said, "Yes." He says, Surah Fatiha to Kitab. He is Sab'ul Mathani wal Quran alladhi utitu. He said, "This is Fatiha to Kitab. It is the Sab'ul Mathani and the book of Allah subhanahu, the Quran al-Azim, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me." Is that clear, inshallah? So this surah, Al-Fatiha, this is one of its virtues. And also, it has so many names, so many names. Some of the scholars, لَمَا قَالَهُ بَعْضُ عُلَمَائِنَا. Some scholars mention around 13 names to Surah Al-Fatiha. And whenever something has a lot of names, that shows significance and importance, right? One of these surahs, one of these names is Surah Al-Fatiha. لِأَنَّهَا يُفْتَتَحُ بِهَا الصَّلَاءُ الْمَصَاحِبُ. You know, the Mus'haf, the first surah in the Mus'haf is Surah Al-Fatiha. And also Surah Al-Hamd, because the beginning is Al-Hamd. And also it is called Surah As-Salah, because of the hadith of Al-Qudsi, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي Nisfu Hali wa Nisfu Hali Abdi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I divided salah between me and my slave. And salah here, Allah is referring to Surah Al-Fatiha. You get it? This is one of its name. And it is called also As-Sab'u Al-Mathani. وَلَقَدْ أَتِنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِ. It is also called Qur'an al-Azim. It is also called Ummul Qur'an, Ummul Kitab. You get it? These are the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. It is also called Ash-Shafiyah, Ash-Shifa. You get it? It's also called Ash-Shafiyah, Ash-Shifa. Where did you get this? From the Qissatu? Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, right? The one that they visited a village on their way back to Medina, and they were hungry, they need food, and those villagers refused to give them. And also they refused to give them accommodation. When the leader of that village got into trouble, they came to those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked them if any one of them can do ruqya. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, I told them, yes, I can do. And he says, walastu bi raqin. And I wasn't a raqin. But he says that you guys refuse to support us with anything, and therefore we will do it for you, but you have to pay for that. They said, no problem. Let's finalize the deal. And it was a very good deal because they managed to secure 30 sheep. Yeah, for the ruqya. Good business, right? So he told them, you give us 30 sheep, we will do the ruqya. And this is what I call adventure. Because he said, I never did ruqya. I don't know how to do ruqya, but he just told them, yes, I can do that for you. So now they agreed to give them 30 sheep. The question is what to do. So he said, I went to the place. I just started reading Surah Al-Fatiha on the place. Just Fatiha. He kept on reading Fatiha. And then subhanAllah, he says, فَقَامَ الرَّجُلُ كَأَنَّمَا نُشِطَ مِنْ إِعْقَالٍ. You know when somebody tie up somebody, you know, for long, the moment you release him, how is he going to? So he says the man just stand up as if there was nothing with him. But then they told themselves, okay, wait a minute, it works, alhamdulillah, and we got this, but is it halal? Yeah, these are the companions. Is it halal? They don't know. So they waited first until they reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, he asked him, what did you say? He said, I read Surah Al-Fatiha. He said, did you say anything else other than Fatiha? Because they used to have ruqya, but ruqya ash-shirkiyah. He said, did you say anything else after this? He said, are you sure that you do not mention anything else? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah. That's the only thing I'll mention. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how do you know that Fatiha is ruqya? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, do you still have the balance of that meat? Please give me a portion of it also. I want to try. What does that mean? Halal. That's the way of Rasulullah ﷺ. When they ate from the fish, you know, Hut al-Ambar, Abu Ubaida ibn al-Jarrah and his team, they also worried. Maybe they did something haram. When they told the Prophet ﷺ, Rasulullah ﷺ said, do you still have some? He said, please share with us. You know, what does that mean? Halal. That's the best way of saying what you did was right. So these are some of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. And as I said, it shows what? It shows significance. You get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbi al-Alameen. What is Alhamdu? Praise, right? And wahu afdal min ash-shukr. The hamd is afdal min ash-shukr. Because you don't say shukr, although shukr might be a'ammu min al-hamd. Hamd is more specific than the shukr in that sense. Because hamd, you can only say it to somebody who you love. That is, it has to be loud. That's why you can do shukr to a kafir, to your enemy. When he did something correct, you tell him ashkuruk. But not praise, not hamd. Hamd is usually said with a kind of love in it. You get the idea? That's why it is the most appropriate to be said to Allah. Both are okay, right? Hamd is only with the lisan and the heart. Right? You cannot practice hamd, but you can practice shukr. أفادتكم النعمة مني ثلاثة يدي ولساني والضمير المحجبة. This is the poet saying that, he's talking that three things, you know, get ni'mah from my side, from three things, you know. He says my hand and my tongue and also my limbs, you know. يدي ولساني والضمير. My heart, my hand, and also the tongue, my lisan. Yeah. So you can do shukr with the tongue, but you don't do hamd with the tongue. Allah says, "E'malu ala Dawuda shukra." He says, "E'malu shukr, do shukr." How to practice the shukr? Do that which the one that you are doing the shukr loves. So shukr lillah is to practice the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you get an idea? So this hamd is one of the best words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much. They ask Ali ibn Abi Talib about alhamd. He says, kalimatun ahabbaha Allah azza wa jal. And subhanallah, if you check about yourself and whatever is around you, wallahi, uqsimu billah, you will never find somebody who deserves alhamd more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at your origin, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you out of the womb. He took care of you. He says, خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. Did you ever pay attention to this? To appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for you. When he put you into that place and took care of you, you're very fragile in the womb of your mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect you, he put that qarar. He says, فَجْعَلْنَهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِيدٍ. He make the womb very strong thing. Those who went for C-section, they tell you, if they talk about that, if they're awake, sometimes if they don't make them unconscious, they can see the way they are pulling the thing. They know they say that it's a very strong thing. In confirming that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, he says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. Womb is very strong a place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي ذُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. He covered you with three things, actually. The womb itself, the water, and the other skin. I don't know the name they call it in English, but there is another skin which sometimes the baby comes with it. Yeah, some babies, they come out with it. You have to cut it immediately, otherwise the baby cannot breathe. All of them are protection. The mother might be affected, but the kid is there enjoying his life. That's why when they come out, some of them, they cry, for two reasons. One of them is the punch that shaitan get him with. And the second one is the new environment, Ibn al-Qayyim says. He's faced with the new environment. He enjoys that which he... environment that he's in, eating the freshest food, the best one, the one that he doesn't need to use bathroom. That's mean the best food he's taking from the mother. You get it? Who's doing that protection? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he brought you out of that place, which everyone who knows the way a person is coming out, you are supposed to be cut into pieces. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expand the place so that the baby can come out. You come out very peacefully, very healthy. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ. When he was talking about this matter, he says, فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ. He said, we have the ability and we're able to do it. He said, blessed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has ability to do things which are better than this. So how much you pay for this? Nothing. And look at the surrounding. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with it. If you are to focus on it, you will understand why do you need to say Alhamdulillah all the time. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When good happens to him, he says, Alhamdulillah. Alladhi bi ni'mati tatimmu as-salihat. When something bad happens, he says, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. In both situations, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillah. Lillah, Allah, we already talk about Allah, right? Rabbil Alameen, Rabb. What is Rabb? Al-Bari Azza wa Jal, the creator, the controller, and the owner. Yeah, Al-Khaliq wal-Malik al-Mudabbir, the creator, the controller, and the owner. Rabbul Alameen, the creator, the owner, and the controller of Alameen. What is Alam? Yeah, the first one is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, right? Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is the Tawheed that is part of our fitrah, right? You cannot live without believing Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Even atheists, they accept it. They just say with their tongues, they don't accept it, but nobody can survive without Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And if you accept Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, you have to accept Uluhiyyah. You must accept Uluhiyyah. It doesn't make sense to believe in Rububiyyah without Uluhiyyah. So Rabbul Alameen, what is Alam? Kullu man siwa Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wal Alam kullu man siwa Allah Azza wa Jalla. Anything other than Allah is called Alam. Anything other than Allah is called Alam. So we have two things in existence, right? Allah and Alam, right? Alam is anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the creator. Whatsoever is not Allah is created by Him. Full stop. Yeah. So read your science correctly, right? When they tell you that something which is neither created and will never perish, tell them kadhabun. And it's not necessary to tell them on their face, but they're lying. Yeah, there is no such thing except Allah. The only one who is not created and will never perish is Rabbul Alameen. Any other thing is created and will perish, except those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made in the way they will not perish, like Jannah and hell. Allah created them. They have beginning, but Allah make them in the way they don't have end. If He wants, He can finish them. Do you get the idea? But He's the only one who doesn't have an end. That's why He loves this name so much. Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyub. Even the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyub. Ismullahi Al-Azam. You get the idea? Ibn Al-Qayyim has a very nice approach concerning this Al-Hayyu. See, it's connected to so many things. So many things. You know, almost all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can also relate them to this Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyub. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of his adiyah, he says, Al-Hayyu alladhi la yamutu wal jinn wal insu yamutun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayyu, the one that doesn't die, wal jinn wal insu yamutun. So we have alam, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called alam. Some said we call them alam from the alama. Ay alama ala wujud Allah azza wa jalla. Wallahu alam. They said we call them alam because they are the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth that indicate and direct us towards the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the Tawheed Rububiyyah. We have in our life, we are surrounded by so many facts that confirms to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Cannot have a life without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot believe, you cannot have a faith from the heart which says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't exist. There's atheists, they're just lying to themselves. Their heart believes in this. You get the idea? Everything is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ask somebody, how do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists? He says, come on. He says, so many times I planned to do things, but I couldn't. I do everything possible to make a success to my plan, but unfortunately I miss it. He said, I know that yes, there is somebody in control. I'm not the only one. And that's true. And that's true. All of us also, we have this. You plan, but and you are not able to do it. For wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, which means there is somebody in control. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You try your best, you do everything possible, you know, it doesn't happen. There are people who went to the airport on time. Why do you go on time? I think this is a story for everyone, right? Going to the airport and on time so that you will not miss the flight. Did you ever go on time and you missed the flight? If it doesn't happen to you, but there are some people who went on time and they missed the flight. And some of them, they missed the flight in a very funny way. You want to hear that? Say yes. Yes, okay. This is one of my friends. He went to the matar on time. When he passed the passport, he was so happy. He passed the passport. The guy looked at him, looked at the passport. He said, what is this? He realized that this is the passport of his wife. He left his at home. So he himself also kept on laughing, you know. You know, sometimes people become sad, but you just have to go back. So it was not written for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it in this way. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا حَيَّأَ لَهُ أَسْبَابًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something, He will prepare the causes. And لَنْ يُنْجِي حَذَرُ مِنْ قَدَرٍ. Take this note. If there is qadr, hazard doesn't benefit. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written something, whatever precaution you're going to take, it will never work. It has to happen in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it. But are we supposed to say that I just depend on those qadr? No, we don't. Yeah, we just act normally. We try to put precaution together with the belief that the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to pass. We try our best to make it in the way we want. However, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let it happen in that way, we know that yes, qadr is always there, which supersede our plans. That's how a Muslim should live. Then you will not be depressed. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الرَّحْمَنَ الرَّحِيمِ. This one we already dealt with it. So we move to Malik Yawm al-Din, which will be the dars, inshallah, in the next class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم. Any question?
We have a question. اوكي شيخ. كويستشن باي سيستر. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. احسن الله اليك في الدنيا والاخره. Is it okay to exchange money in the black market where the rates are much higher than the official bank exchange rate?
Yes, it's fine. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said exchanging currency in the if there are two types. إذا اختلفت هذه الأصناف فبيعوا كيف شئتم إذا كان يدًا بيدًا. Look for the one that will give you a better price. The only thing you should do is to make sure that you make it hand to hand. Yeah, you can change a dollar, $1,000 with 50 cents. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah, we will see the time when this money will become the useless, the most useless money on earth, inshallah. So it's okay for you to do that. And it's okay also for you to do it in any way, as long as it is hand to hand. Yeah, the condition is it has to be hand to hand. Yeah, now.
If someone received interest in dollars, can they get rid of the money in another currency? For example, getting rid of the equivalent in ringgit instead of using the dollars in order.
I will advise them if they get interest to get rid of that money which comes to them, to take the amount of interest from that money and give it to somebody else. This is my advice, rather than converting it to something else and then use that dollar. I really advise them not to. You know, take that money that comes to you, which is riba, get rid of it in the way it came. Unless if let's say they send the interest to you from the places where they use dollars, but when it comes to your account, it comes in ringgit. Yeah, then you receive ringgit. You're getting rid of ringgit. You don't need to go and get dollars and get rid of dollars. No, you just give ringgit.
This question is by brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fik, Sheikh. What is the wisdom behind Fajr and Asr being really important?
How do I answer this question? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them important. Yeah. They are very important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them very important, and all the prayers are like that. Every prayer. They're all important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are connected these two prayers with the Ru'yatullahi Azza wa Jal. But each prayer, when you talk about it separately, you'll find this important also. It's attached to each prayer. It says, فَإِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتُمْ, they said, Ya Rasulullah, can we see Allah on the Day of Judgment? He said, yes, you're going to see Him on the Day of Judgment without facing any problem. That's the Aqeedah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah against the Mu'tazila وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ بِضَلَال, and those who follow them in dhalal. And that's why I don't debate anyone who believes that Allah cannot be seen on the Day of Judgment. It's a waste of time, I'm telling you. Just tell him, no problem. You take that opinion. I believe, inshallah, I'm going to see him. You don't want to see, you go with your opinion. Yeah. Don't waste your time. Yeah, because this is a fact and very clearly mentioned in the Quran that we will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, in Jannah and also fi arasat yawm al-qiyamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we will be seeing him. And then he said, فَإِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاتٍ بَيْنَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. If you can be able not to miss a prayer that is prayed before the sunrise and a prayer before the sunset, that's Fajr and Asr, right? And also Fajr and Asr, these are the time that the angel will come and exchange the duty, right? Those people who are writing our deeds, they come at Fajr time and Asr time also. But as I said, every prayer has its own importance mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, Uzair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahsan Allahu ilayka fi dunya wal akhirah.
Hayyak Allah, Uzair.
If I wear a dark red shirt, do I come under the hadith that prohibits wearing red?
The scholar said ahmaru qanin. It's extremely red. This is what is wrong for the brothers to wear. There are some who said it's just disliked and advise the brothers to stay away from this.
So yeah. Even plain red shirt.
This it has to be red, completely red, very red. Yeah. Without any other line. If let's say the collar is black or any other color, then it's okay, inshallah. Okay. If it has some other colors, it should be okay.
Okay.
قانن قانن
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. We said that if something is mustahab and other scholars say it's fard, you do it because be on the safe side. But then what do we say to the Hanafis who they don't read Surah Al-Fatiha when they're praying behind someone else?
To read.
So can we just say this to them, that if something is fard, then mustahab?
Okay. Even if you don't believe in it, read, because there are many scholars who said your prayer is batil. Then advise them to read. Still using that principle.
But didn't we say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only prayed one prayer? So, and they say because like he only prayed one way.
When we say one way, we don't mean
he only prayed one way and
One prayer. Sheikh, but inside the prayer, there are some activities which sometimes he does this, sometimes he does that. Anyone who can prove that what he is doing is taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's fine. What he does is fine. Good idea. Like when we talk about the tawarruk, right? We say tawarruk in the last sitting. You sit, you bring your leg down there, or you put it between your thigh and your chin. Yeah. Or you put both of them at the right side. They're all practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You do like this, Allahu Akbar, raising up the hand together with the takbir, is fine. Or you go Allahu Akbar and then raise up your hand. Or you raise up your hand, put it on the chest and Allahu Akbar. Whoever does that, we don't tell him you're wrong. Because all of them are done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's under that one prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get an idea? Yeah, no. So did he pray or he tell us to pray without Surah Al-Fatiha? No. So if somebody brought that version, we tell him this is not what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. You know.
Sheikh. Next question is by a brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. The brother says that whenever he sees a couple, he gets jealous when he knows that it's haram. It's a haram relationship. But then, he says that maybe Allah has written that I will marry at an old age. How can we deal with this mentality?
Whenever he sees
a couple who is in a haram relationship.
Haram relationship, right?
Two,
boyfriend and girlfriend. Yeah. Boy, enemy and get enemy. So he...
thinking that I'll get married in an old age.
But I couldn't get the connection between...
He gets jealous and then he thinks...
Jealous of the haram.
Yeah, of the haram.
The guy with the curses. Allah musta'an. Yeah. He should stop getting jealous of the haram and start hating that haram. Yeah. This is wrong. He has to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and to help him to stay away from this. Yeah. You get the idea. He should make it correct. Once he knows that these people are in a haram relationship, he should hate what they're doing. He should advise them to stay away from that. You get it? Not to be jealous of haram. That's very wrong. That shows that he really need to do a lot to improve his iman and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grant us good. And he should quickly marry. Don't wait and say that maybe until I reach the old age. Yeah. Let's propose and go ahead. Inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
As you mentioned in your speakers, the name of Allah is only Allah. And I'm Persian. Afghanistan. We call Allah's name also Khuda.
Khuda Hafiz.
I think Pakistani and Indian also they call Khuda, Bangladeshi.
Khuda Hafiz. Yeah.
So, actually, still a big question. Of course, the best name of Allah is Allah, but the people also call Khuda. We call Khuda with the whole of soul and heart.
What is the meaning of that in the language? Does it mean anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, do they call other gods also that, like that? The Christian also in that place, the Majus, and when they said when they refer, but they don't refer to the idols also, Khuda. They don't. Because it's okay, because translating the name is okay. You get it? If you can bring an appropriate and correct translation, then it's okay. I will choose for anyone who wants to say this, to use the word Allah is better, more prestigious. You know, Allah Hafiz, inshallah. But as long as this is the only translation in that language, then it is fine. Bi-iznillahi azza wa jal. There shouldn't be anything, because I think every language also has. You get it? That's how they translate the thing. If it is only used to address that one, Allah alone, then it should be fine. Bi-iznillahi azza wa jal. But I will choose for a student of knowledge, use the word Allah. Allah Hafiz. Allah Hafizak. Hafizak Allah. The name Allah, it doesn't come from Jannah. Adam to Adam alayhi salam. No. No. The name Allah is there before Adam was created. Always there with Allah. Always there with Allah. Adam allamahu al-asma kullaha is not asma'ullahi azza wa jalla faqat. This is name of all things. Everything. That's why he even talked to the angels next to him. You are Mika'id, you are Jibreel, you are Israfil, you are this, you are that. You get it? So the name of Allah, all of the names of Allah are always there. That's why the scholars said Allah did not get the name of Al-Khaliq because he created. He's Khaliq before and after the creation. You get the idea? He is not the most merciful because he shows mercy. No, he is the most merciful, even if there is nobody to be shown mercy. It's like that. All the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are like that. You get it? He is a Razzaq. Not because he gave people a risk. That's why he's called a Razzaq. No, he's always a Razzaq. You get it? So these are the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are Asma lillahi azza wa jalla, dhatiyya lillah azza wa jalla. They're always there.
And
a dahab.
As you mentioned, that something is there out of the control of human. How much we try our best, we cannot do it on time. So Allah called.
No, we can do it on time. We can do it. Yeah, we can do it on time. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying nobody should say, should curse the dahar. Yeah, you curse zaman, the time. You're cursing it. For why you curse the time? Time doesn't do anything. That's why he says an ad-dahar. It doesn't mean one of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ad-dahar.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't mean Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We don't go for this. But they said he is the one who controls the dahar.
Control.
Yeah, the time is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you curse the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made in that way, who are you referring to? Mm. Do you get it? That's why he says nobody should curse the time. But it doesn't mean that name of Allah is ad-dahar. Mm. Yeah, when he says an ad-dahar, yani the one who is controlling the dahar. I know, inshallah.
So that can be the sifat of Allah, no?
No, we don't call it, we don't name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ad-dahar or the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ad-dahar. Yeah, that, like in one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at-tadbir. Tadbir, control.
Oh.
Everything is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who do the tasarruf in everything. Yeah.
So the time is the creature of Allah?
Of course, 100%. Allah created that the time. Afwan. See, that's what I'm afraid of. You know, Abdul Rahman got something. He said, "Kalimat Khuda." It used to be used to address one of the gods of the Persians, right? Yeah. So it's better to stay away from it and use Allah. I don't want to confirm, but I heard somebody was talking about this issue. Yeah. Because anything that is related to an act of worship before, we as a Muslim, we try to avoid it. Yeah. That's why reading the history of this word is good. Yeah. So we got this. It's better also to go deeper to see what exactly is because my fear is what Abdurrahman had mentioned just now. If it is related to the name of somebody, another god, in the past. So in Islam, when we accept Islam, we have the best alternative, which is Allah. Allah Hafiz. Yeah.
Sorry, Professor. The name of Khuda, in Persian language, doesn't relate to anything, like any idol, something. It's just the little, the one god.
Yeah. It is like that. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. The meaning might be this. If you go to the history, the Muslims, when they mention it, they only mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The community, since the Islam is there, it's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in this world, sometimes you might go to the history. Yeah, back to the history, you'll find that no, originally it has been used to address something. But since this is part of the culture of the place, the Muslims, when they accept Islam, also they maintain that one, but intending only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this type of approaches, the best is to avoid it and use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than Khuda Hafiz. I'm pretty sure I heard somebody was making some explanation like this, but I'm not sure. That's why I don't use it. Yeah, but it would be good if you also can go and check and see. But I'm pretty sure I heard somebody was making this explanation of Rahman, saying that it is related to some gods. And if it is related to some god, then we cannot use it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just say Allah Hafiz. Yeah, Allah Hafiz. InshaAllah. Subhanakallahum. Many questions. So delay them to the... Alhamdulillah. So delay the many questions, inshaAllah, to the many classes. Next class, inshaAllah. Okay. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.